morning.
Good morning.
It is very good for us to be here. As I was sitting there a few moments ago, I was struck in considering the things that we've seen and heard and been part of today. We've had a lesson shared with us about a man who is known for his great strength physically, but also of his characterization of weaknesses. We have had the opportunity. Our soul, be reminded of that in the first day of the week, of Christ and his death, to sing songs to one another. We have been edified, we have been built up. Our hope would be that God has been glorified in this, and we are reminded that all of us have played a part. It is not just those who have spoken, or those who have led in singing or in prayer, but may it be true that all of our hearts have been participating as well. And those thoughts go along the lines of what we will be speaking about this morning as we go a little further into the lesson. I'd like to begin this morning by reading two passages of the Bible, about four verses apiece. Turn with me, if you would like, to 1 Kings chapter 19. That's where the first passage will come from. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. And as I read these, first I will not make much comment until I finish reading both of them. But here we have, in 1 Kings 19, 19, "So Elijah departed from there, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him, and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' So Elisha turned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah, and became his servant." Also turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 4, we will begin with verse 18 and go through 22. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed him." Several of you have seen the title of the topic I've been asked to talk about today. And for those of you who do not, listen to it and smile. "Burn the clouds and drop the nets." Kind of an interesting title, but it is a point that is extremely valuable for each of us as Christians and potential Christians to consider. We have just read two accounts where this would come from. "Burn the clouds and drop the nets." We start, and if you'd like to turn back to 1 Kings 19, you can, but we start with the idea given to us regarding Elisha. Elisha was out plowing in the field, doing his normal daily activities, right? He didn't know what was coming. He didn't know that a man was soon to come upon him and would throw his mantle upon him and ask him to go with him. But as he did so, we know that he was plowing in the field. With this, we found that he then burned the equipment, which I believe what we would understand would be that he burned the plows that he was using, which characterizes the idea that he was doing this. He is now ready to go and to serve the Lord. fully and wholeheartedly. He, in a sense, then, was dropping one thing, dropping his regular life, and in this particular occasion, to move forward to serve God through helping Elijah initially, and then to be a prophet of God on his own after that. And when I say on his own, I'm certainly talking about including through Christ's help as well. But that's what we have with burning the plows. And then we have dropping the nets where Jesus was walking by, seeing Peter and Andrew, seeing James and John. He said what? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they gladly dropped their nets to follow him. As I had briefly mentioned, these men did not know what was coming, but in doing so, they didn't realize that their lives were to change dramatically. But as they followed this call, they certainly did. Overall, I'd like for us to move back now and think about how this applies to us. When we think about this, I'm going to kind of present two questions to you with this, or at least two points of view. Was this a special call reserved only for a few in the Bible? Or is this a call that could be compared to the gospel call today? When Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me," was this reserved only for the apostles? Or has he likewise said to me and you, "Follow me"? And what about the response? Was it only for Elisha and the apostles to immediately and completely burn their plows and drop their nets? Or is it important for us to respond to Christ when he says, "Follow me"? Should we respond in a similar way? To drop aspects of our own life to follow him? While it is evident that none of us here this morning have ever been out plowing in our fields and had somebody come along and put their mantle upon you and say, "Follow me." Or I doubt that any of you have ever been on the Sea of Galilee fishing and had someone say to you, "Follow me," and you drop your nets. While this has not happened in that sense, I hope for each of us to recognize that in several senses, a similar thing has happened to us. We have also been asked to follow Jesus. Two verses that come to mind about this are very well known. The first from Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Come unto me. We find another similar, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily," and what? "Follow me." Following Christ. So, from an overall perspective, I'd like for us to move from the two stories in the Bible, which are important. But one of the reasons they're important for us today is to think about ourselves and the similar call that we receive. Now, what about our response? We see that as Elisha and then the apostles were called to follow Christ, to follow God, what about our response? Is there a comparison? Well, I am not here to say that we all need to drop our jobs to do this. We have a living to make, a livelihood. But what we do find, I believe, is that as Elisha burned the plows, it was a symbol of the change of his life and his commitment to follow God. What about the apostles? As they dropped their nets, is that also a symbol then of their commitment as they changed their life to follow Christ? As I said, I'm not looking to make the comparison that we drop our lives in that sense, dropping our jobs, but there are things that we do drop. There are mindsets that we may have that we need to change. There are activities in our life that we need to change. There are character aspects in our life that we need to change when Christ says, "Follow me," and we respond. As we continue with this, but move in a slightly different direction this morning, I'd like for us to think about understanding that there are a lot of different circumstances in our life. So when we talk about this today, we're talking to people who are from 5 to 95, as far as age may go. There are people who have many different situations. How does that affect you? What is your thoughts in relation to dropping our nets and burning our clouds in that sense? What I'd like to do in talking about this is to address two groups who are here today, Christians and non-Christians. Let's begin with those of you who may be here this morning who are not yet Christians. What does it mean for you if you are to drop your clouds, if you are to burn your clouds and drop your nets? What does that mean? Well, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, what that means is following Christ. What that means is taking God's part. Understanding, starting first with God's love. His love was to send His Son to die for your sins. Moving to God's grace. His grace, through it, He desires to forgive your sin. He desires to give you salvation. And He has promised to do so as we follow Him, as you follow Him. On your own part, it includes your faith. It includes believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It includes trust as we fully turn our life to Him. It includes your repentance, your being very sorrowful for sins that you've been involved in and still are possible. It involves and includes in repentance your commitment to turn away from those, to reform your life. It includes your obedience in committing to following Him and in committing to learning His will and making it a part of your life on a daily basis. On your part, it also means to you baptism. To be baptized, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to have your sins washed away, and to be born of the Spirit and of the water to enter into the kingdom of God. These, in a sense, are just a few things that it means to you, but that's the very basis of what dropping your nets and burning your clouds means to you if you're outside of Christ. Now, what about if you are a Christian here this morning? Are there things that means to you? Well, certainly it does. We start with the idea of examining our lives regularly, seeing what our priorities are, and making sure they are spiritual in nature. One of the challenges we all have as Christians with priorities deal with time. I don't know if you think about this much, but it crosses my mind often, actually. Comparing our life today with comparing it, say, 100 years ago. If you lived 100 years ago, and you were to go from your house to the church building this morning, how long would it have taken you? Well, I don't know, but let's say you lived 20 minutes away in a car ride. To make that same trip several years ago, 100 years ago, would have probably taken around 2 hours. It would have been a major undertaking to get here. Taking something as simple as doing laundry. And when I say simple, for some of you who have a family, keeping up with laundry is a chore in and of itself. But in a sense, at one time, it took almost a whole day to do the laundry about 100 years ago or so. Now you can pop it in the washer and go do your own thing. It gets done, you take it out. Some of you hang it on the line, others put it in the dryer. But the point is, it takes a lot less time than it used to. You take a meal, things that used to take a long time, now we pop in the microwave. So in a sense, we've freed up a lot of time. So you think we've all got a lot of free time, right? Is that true in your life? Usually, most of us are very busy. So it's kind of interesting in the sense that, on one hand, we have a lot more time to do other activities than those of 100 years ago. We have found a lot of things to fill those spaces of time as well. And so, with this, what I've done at this stage is acknowledge that time is an issue along the way for all of us. There's a lot of demands on our time. We have the demands of our work schedule. We have the demands of family life. We have these things that are important, certainly very good things for us to be involved in. And when we think about a topic like this, dropping nets and burning the plows, it's not my job to look into your life and try to figure out and tell you what you should drop or add. But what this is about reminding each of us to look into our own and to see what needs to be dropped or added. It is about each of us looking to re-examine priorities. And even more importantly, I think, it's about recognizing the greatness of the kingdom of God. Because that is really one of the most important parts of this. I'm not going to say that Elisha, as he initially started and followed Elisha, or I'm not going to say that the apostles in their initial stages recognized the greatness of the value of the kingdom of God. But over time, they certainly did. And that, to me, becomes the root of what we're talking about here as well. To understand that Elisha didn't burn his plow for just any cause. The apostles didn't drop their nets for just anyone who came along. They dropped their nets for Jesus Christ. When we talk about a similar idea then today, we are not talking about dropping things out of our lives, burning clouds or dropping heads if we will, or just anything. But we're talking about God. The greatest, let's just stop there, the greatest. Christ, the greatest one who lived on the earth. And so what we need to do, first of all, is establish the importance of this. To drop your plows and reversing those sometimes, drop your nets and burn your plows. Again, recognizing the greatness of God and His kingdom, but committing yourself within yourself to grow to spiritual maturity. Committing yourself within yourself to reach out and to help others in spiritual senses as well as physical. Commit yourself in doing all you can for the Lord in both public ways and in private. As I was thinking some about this and kind of trying to determine ways to get this point across, one of the things that I decided to do was simply to talk to you a little bit about my own life. Because really, who do we know better than ourselves? So I'm going to share a little bit with you about me. And as I do this, I would like for you to think about ways that are similar for you, ways that may be different, but hopefully the same point would be made in all of them. With me, in my early life, I was fortunate enough to be raised in a Christian home. I was fortunate enough to be a part of going to church on a regular basis, to be told Bible stories, the Bible was read to me, memory verses and so on were a part of what I was and learned. And through my high school and college years, church was always important. There's no question it was important, but there were other things that were important too. So on Sunday, I went to church. Monday through Friday, I went to school. I believe I still lived a nice life. I was a good example, I believe. But I was very busy with school, so you know you've got the academic side, you've got the sports. When you go to a school, it's very, very small. It's easy to participate in pretty much everything. There's not a lot of competition in that sense. But in participating in all activities that were around, I did that. And I mean, again, while church was very important, other things were important as well. And I don't know that I necessarily made church number one. Certainly wasn't way down on the list, but other things were important almost equally. Go to college, I took a major that was fairly demanding, so there was a lot of studying I did. Again, church all along the way was important, but there were so many other things to be involved in, Monday through Saturday, keeping involved with that. I graduated from college, started my work life, was a teacher for 5 years to begin. Teaching is kind of a demanding job. For those of you who are teachers, you can appreciate that. In other words, my time was very well filled as well on the academic side, a couple of years coaching as well. And in all of these, I would not say I ever neglected church or ever neglected studying and developing lessons. I was always a part of programs, church programming as far as reading, waiting on the table, giving talks, and so on. It was always a part of it. But yet, it was probably in my mid to late 20s that it became even more important. Things such as statements made in classes regarding, for instance, the church. One made by Richard Reagan as he led classes. One of the topics was about the church. The Lord needs work. The Lord needs service for him. The church needs you. As I make these statements, it's not just me, but these are statements for which you have to reflect on as well. And so over the course of time, God, Christ, the church, from being important, becoming more apparent that it was, number one, is where it needed to be, fully. And so from there, I moved and continued to grow, hopefully, in that. Now, I've made some of those comments. I guess let me make one or two others with that. As I went to church also, it was a small country church. So as I went, I'm used to seeing 25, 30 people. And that's kind of what I'm thinking the church is. But over the years, you see that the church is much more than one congregation. The church is headed by who? Jesus Christ. We all, in a sense, on our own, are weak beings. This morning, we've had several, in a sense, weak men get up and stand before you to speak. And that is not at all what we're in. I think they all recognize that's not at all a claim on them, and they don't think it that way at all. But we, as humans, are weak men. But as we move forward, as we draw the nets, as we burn the clouds, God works with us and through us and in us. So we have weak men who learn God's Word. And over the course of time, move from being weak to being strong. Weak, strong men. A weak, strong man was the lesson that Rick was able to deliver to us. And it related to, actually, was a weak, strong man or a strong, weak man. But the point with this, as far as relating to us, we are weak men. Actually, Samson, the point was Samson was a strong man, but was also weak in some ways. We, in many ways, are weak. But through God and through Christ, we can be the strongest of men and women. And that's really what we're talking about with burning the plows and dropping the nets. Going back to my thoughts then in my own life and moving it to yours. I would imagine some of you see comparisons in your own life. Obviously there are some similarities, some differences and some similarities as well. The point I'm making kind of is some of us, as we are taught these things by our parents, or as teachers in the church or elders of the church, try to make certain points to us about the importance of God, Christ, church. No matter how much someone may say to us, it is whose responsibility for that to be instilled in your own mind and heart. It comes to you, right? And so, that's the idea. There came a time in my life that it became that much more important to me. As you're here this morning, it might be that you may have reached that point younger than I did. You may be older than I have said and still haven't reached that point. But the point becomes, yes, it's true that there are a lot of things for us to be involved in. A lot of good things, and we have to be as we live in this earth. But we allow God, Christ, and the church to be the most important. As we do that, then we burn the plows and we drop the nets of this. As we think of this and kind of make a couple of more comments in regard to it, what that means is, and really what I'm trying to do with this part, is instill within each heart and mind today the value of the cause of Christ. Because until you realize the value of God, you will not drop the nets and burn the plows. But if and when you do recognize that value, you will do what Elisha and what the apostles did. When you do that, there are things that will result in your life. One of the things is that you will desire to serve God in whatever ways you can. When the saints come together, you will make every effort to be there, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. For us, as we, if we allow other things to take priority in our lives, we haven't yet reached that state. And what we want to do is do that. One of the phrases mentioned in the email that I received was a phrase called stepping up to the plate. We all need to step up to the plate in several aspects of our lives. When we decide to be married, for instance, we have to step up to the plate for the marriage. When we become a Christian, we step up, if you will, to the plate for Christ. And taking that and connecting it to what our point is here, I would connect it also with participation. I had mentioned that all of us here this morning participated, and I hope that's true. Mentally and spiritually, you all have participated in this service. And there are a variety of ways that we can participate in public and in private ways for God. Some of us have different roles within the church, and we appreciate each role and our capacity to do the best we can in each of them. But also we recognize that many of us can continue to improve and to grow in spiritual maturity. So our point and our hope would be that there are those among us today who would then take this lesson and others that you may hear this weekend to make a commitment in your own heart and life to increase your participation. It may be that it does involve public roles. It may be that you are more inclined and more zealous to read God's Word from the front, if that's one of your roles. To teach a class, if that's a role of yours, whether publicly upstairs or downstairs. To give sermons, because there are ways you can edify publicly. But also, we recognize that not all people are gifted necessarily in those ways. And that's fine as well. But whatever your situation is, participate. That's really one of the major aspects of this lesson and of this topic, I believe. Increase what you can do, and do it to the best of your ability. We think of Elisha and his commitment as he did what he did in burning the clouds. We think of the apostles and their commitments. Our point this morning has been that it's more than just something from many years ago and a nice story to read in the Bible, a nice story to teach the young kids in their classes as they grow up. But these are accounts also to apply to you and me. It's more than just a call of Christ to follow me given to them. But it's an individual call to each of us to follow Him, to grow to spiritual maturity, and do the best that we can. Hopefully this has increased and helped you in your commitment and desire to follow and serve the Lord. Once we recognize the value of the cause, we are then ready to add the value that we have to the cause of Christ. This morning, as we draw this lesson to a close, then we go back to consider those who are not yet members of Christ's body. We spoke of, again, burning the plows and dropping the nets. If there are those among us this morning, and we know there are those among us who have strongly considered obeying the Word of God, becoming a child of His. We spoke of God's love, His grace, your faith, your repentance, your obedience, and your baptism. Those are six ideas that I mentioned as we went through it before. Each person here who is a Christian would rejoice along with the angels if there are those among us this morning who are not, but yet who are ready to make that commitment. What our invitation to you is for you to come forward. Come forward as we sing this song to confess Christ before men, to repent of your sins, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to have your sins washed away, and then rise truly, burn the plows, and drop your nets and serve God. Will you come?